has blessed us to come to greet one another in love and allowed us to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says the Lord seeketh such to worship him. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I am Brother Brian Clark, as was stated, from the East Point Church of Christ. Some people have asked, where is East Point? East Point is in suburb. It's a suburb right outside of Southwest Atlanta. So if you've flown into the city of Atlanta through Hartsfield-Jackson, you more than likely have been through East Point. And for the younger generation, you remember Outkast said, East Point and we're gone. Me and you. And so East Point is a suburb, and I worked there for 3 years, and I thank God for the members there, and they have been blessing me, and I just hope that I can just give them some part of that blessing back. Before that, as was stated, I was a member at the West End Church of Christ for about 35 years, where my father in the gospel, Brother Wesley R. Brown, baptized me, taught me. In around 2003, I had the privilege of meeting with Brother Orpheus Hayward, now Dr. Hayward. And so we formed a kinship, and we just became great buddies, and I became his assistant minister. And I was there working under Brother Hayward for about 6 years before East Point gave me a call and asked that I come over to tend the work there at East Point. And so I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for the small part I have in anybody's growth and development. It is just a pleasure to preach the word of God. I want to say thank you to the man of God that labors every Sunday at this house, and that is Brother Shelton Gibbs. He is one of God's greatest proclaimers. And as I said this morning, I don't say this lightly, but we don't have a lot left. And so when Brother Brown passed last November, he was someone that I looked up to. That generation with Brother Lawton and Brother Washington and Brother Wells and Brother Gibbs, that generation won't be with us forever. So we want to thank them and give them love while they're here. Amen. I just believe in giving flowers while people can smell them. And so I want you to know that you have one of the fairest flowers in the garden. And so I thank him for this opportunity. I also want to thank Brother Worthy for this opportunity. As was stated this morning, Brother Worthy and I met about four or five years ago in Atlanta. And he's just been kind of a big brother to me as well. And I thank God for his humility. You can always find men with ability, but you won't always find them with humility as well. And so Brother Worthy is a man that I admire so much. I thank God for him and thank God for his belief in me. And I won't be long this morning, but I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Just going to read a few verses just to get the context. A text without its context is a pretext, and so we want to make sure that we can sort of understand what this text is about. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is, before the Jordan. There is a need of patience when God promises. A lack of provision does not mean a lack of God's plans. What we may call desolate, God calls desirable. What we may see as tumultuous, God sees as triumphant. And the thing that stands between you and your victory is a five-letter word spelled F-A-I-T-H. It is the difference between victory and failure. And someone here this morning needs to know God has already sealed your victory in a package labeled faith. Brothers and sisters, I want to talk first about the pronouncement. Look at your Bible. Verse number one again says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be not be dew or rain these years until I give the word. The word of the Lord came and said unto him, Get thee hence and turn eastward and hide thyself in the brook." King Ahab of Israel was considered one of the most wicked kings ever, according to 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. Jezebel, his wife, was from the land of Sidon. She was a Sidonian princess. And she brings her native pagan god, Baal, and integrates it with Yahvistic or Yahweh worship. But eventually, she convinces her husband, King Ahab, to replace Jehovah God with Baal. Baal is the god of fertility. He is the god of good crops. The result is Israel soon sins. They begin to see Baal as Israel's provider, based on this Phoenician woman's native religion. But the man of God must speak truth to power and tells Ahab, "There will be no rain nor dew until I give the word." Now, we don't know much about Elijah. We don't know about his background. All we know is he's from the land of Tishbe. But God says there's a pronouncement. And in your life, brothers and sisters, we want to know, and this is the title of this lesson, Hope in Hopeless Times. Hope in Hopeless Times. God gives the pronouncement. But then he gives the preparation. Look at your Bibles. Verses 3, the Bible again says, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan." And God commands Elijah to leave immediately. You see, faith doesn't call for contemplation. Faith calls for action. God tells him to go not to the River Jordan, but he says, go to the brook Cherith. The word Cherith means isolation. It means a cutting. And so God says, I need for you to go to the cutting place. I want you to know that in the Hebrew, the word covenant, barith, it literally means to cut. When there was a covenant that was between two parties, they would take a heifer and they would split it down the middle. And they would walk between the two split pieces and they would shake hands and they would say, whatever we do, if we break this promise, may the same thing happen to us. The Lord says, go to Cherith, which is before Jordan. And the Lord not only gives us the pronouncement, he gives us the preparation. Look at what he says in verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, I know that may not strike you as strange, but understand he's going past the river to go to the brook. That suggests to me that there is more water in the river than there is in the brook. And then he says, and the ravens will feed you there. Now, I don't know if you have ravens in the state of Texas, but we have them in the state of Georgia. And the last time I checked, ravens don't bring food. Ravens eat food. Amen. So I want you to see God has taken the antithetical and he's made it work for Elijah. But then the Lord says, after a while, the brook dried up. Have you ever had something in your life that dried up? Have you ever had provisions, jobs, friends that you can't talk to anymore, that you can't get any money from anymore? Praise the Lord. I've been there. I don't know about you. I've gone to the ATM thinking I have $20 and I got $13.70 and I can't even get that out. Amen. That's a dried up brook. Amen. But the Lord says, once you have been to the place of isolation, once you have been to the place of cutting, I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, God says, now I'm going to give you the promise. He gives you the promise. I want you to understand that when God promises it, it's a threefold thing. Let me say that again. When God promises you something, it's a threefold thing. Preacher, you got to show me that in the text. Let me show you. Look at verse number 4 again. The Bible says, when we read it again, he says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook and that I have commanded you, and the raven shall feed you there. First of all, every promise of God is certain. Write that down. Every promise of God is certain. The Bible says, and it shall be. Every promise of God is sufficient. Thou shalt drink of the brook. Every promise of God is conditional. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, not only that, once you have the pronouncement and the preparation, you also have to have the provision. You have to have the provision. Look at your Bible again. Look at round verse number 9. The Bible says, after everything dried up, after everything went sour and went south, the Bible says, he told Elijah, he says, arise. Leave this place where you've been feeling good. Leave this place that you're familiar. Leave this place where you've gotten food from the Raven catering service and the drinking company of Cherith. He said, leave this place of comfort and go to Zarephath. Now, it doesn't make any sense when God has been providing you in one place to go to a place that's desolate. Because keep in mind, there's a drought. There's no rain. When there's no rain, generally speaking, after a while, there's going to be no food either. So God says, go to Zarephath, but watch what happens in verse number 9. He says, arise and go to Zarephath, which is before Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, I don't miss the power of that. A widow woman. The word widow in the Hebrew means desolate. This woman is broker than Elijah. God, you provided for me over here, but why did you cut it off? God, I've been in this job for 25 years. Why did you let me get laid off? What am I going to do? Is it time to jump off the bridge? There's no hope. But the Lord says, go somewhere else. But Lord, when I look over in Zarephath, they don't have any water. They don't have any food. He says, but when you get there, I've commanded. I've ordained your situation. See, I love the Lord because, see, the Lord says he speaks those things that be not as though they were. See, while you're worried about being problematic and worrying about the chaos in your life today, God has seen your tomorrow. Don't worry. Let me tell you, the Bible says he's the God that provides. Now, if you take time and look at the word provide, it's syllabicated. It is provides. The prefix pro means before. The suffix vides comes from the word we get video. So he pro videos. Oh, I thought y'all were with me this morning. Let me try this side. He pro videos. He sees before. So you don't have to worry because you're leaning on the everlasting arms. You're leaning on the promises of God that sees your tomorrow today. He says, don't worry about that, Elijah. Stop contemplating that, Elijah. Didn't I take care of you when you went to the brook? Didn't I feed you by a raven? He said, now do what I say. Now watch this, because when he goes to Zarephath, watch what he sees. His eyes tell him something his mind shouldn't. He says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, it was a Near Eastern custom that any time a stranger came into your house, you would offer them water. most of the times to wash their feet. You remember when Jesus came and he said, when I came in, you didn't offer me any water. He said, but this woman wipes the dust off of my feet with her hair. That was a custom. And so the woman doesn't really begrudge him. So she goes to get the water. But then he says, wait. He says, before you go, can you get me a little bread too? Now, she's from Zarephath, but she sounds like a woman from Atlanta because she said, now, wait a minute, preacher. Now, you ask for stuff, it's a drought. I don't know if you noticed that. Says, but I'm just gathering two sticks, and I'm going to take the sticks, and I'm going to create a fire. He says, and I'm going to create the fire, and I'm going to make bread. See, down south, I don't know, y'all, big city Dallas, I don't know, but we have something called hoe cakes back home where I'm from. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's all you got. You ain't got enough cornmeal to make no real cornbread. Hello, somebody. Praise the Lord. And she says, I'm going to make it, and I'm just going to eat it, and me and my son are going to die. But I love what Elijah says. Elijah says, before you do that, before you get the funeral program set up, before you call the mortician and say, come by on Wednesday because it's Monday and we're going to be dead by Tuesday. He said, before you do all that, he said, do this for me. He says, just make me a little first. And so now her faith has to kick in. Now see, God didn't give Elijah the whole plan, but Elijah's hungry. And Elijah can rely on his faith because he was taken care of back there at the brook. See, sometimes God will put you in a situation so you can help somebody else in their situation. You know, it reminds me of about 10 years ago, I was teaching Wednesday morning Bible class at West End, and there was a brother whose father had just passed. And the Lord put on my heart, he said, Brian, go talk to him and tell him this. And I'm not saying the Lord speaks audibly. I'm just saying this is something that was in my heart. He said, tell him it wasn't for him. And I was thinking, why would it not be for him? It's his father. His father died. But I went and I spoke to the brother. I said, I'm praying for you. I know it's a sad day. He said, but know that God's going to get you through. And I said, and it's not really for you. And so as he looked at me, he thanked me and he walked off. And I remember this like it was yesterday. About 3 weeks later, he came to class, and he stood up and asked for prayer. He said, I want to thank the church for praying for me when my father passed. He said, but Brian said something to me a few weeks back. He said, this death was not for me. He said it was for somebody else. And what happened was a coworker of his father passed, and the coworker didn't know how to handle his father's death. But because he had been through his father's death himself, he knew how to handle that. And what I'm suggesting to you is that sometimes our problems aren't just for us. You recall over there in John chapter 11, the Bible says that when Jesus heard his good friend Lazarus had died, the Bible says he waited. He waited. Why did he wait? If I hear my good friend is on the verge of death, I'm going to go right then. But the Lord says, I waited so you could see the glory of God. See, he healed a young lady of Nain, and they said, she wasn't really dead. She was in a coma. Healed another young man, raised him from the dead. Nah. The body, in Hebrew beliefs, the soul hovered around the body for 3 days. He said, no. He really wasn't dead. He was, you know, he was in a stupor. So when it came to his good friend, he said, no, he's going to be good and dead when I get there. Amen. And he said it was for God's glory. You know, sometimes our problems aren't our problems. Our problems are for God's glory. And as you mature in Christ, you'll learn every situation is a stepping stone. It's a faith stepping stone. You grow higher and higher in your faith when you pass test 1 and test 2 and test 3. Now, I want you to see the rest of the story. We're almost finished. I want you to see this. Now, as she goes to get a morsel of bread, and she said in verse 12, as the Lord God liveth, I have no cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I might go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after, make for yourself and for your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now understand the power of that. She's in Zarephath. Zarephath is a city in Phoenicia. The Phoenician god is Baal. Oh, you missed it. She doesn't believe in Jehovah because that's not her god. She comes from the land of Jezebel. She believes in Jezebel's god. But God sends the prophet to the land of the pagan. Hallelujah. God will do some strange things, won't he? He'll send you to a place where nobody's a Christian. And then he'll say, now, just have faith. And then when somebody get on that last nerve and you want to say something, God says, just have faith. I put you there for a reason. Just stay faithful. I'll bless you. The woman did what Elijah said. She goes and she makes a cake. And I love that because Elijah now has transferred his faith to her. And after she makes the cake, I want you to see what happens. Verse number 14 says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth upon rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Verse number 17 says, and it came to pass. One of my favorite phrases in the entire Bible is it came to pass. You know, sometimes when we have problems in our lives, sometimes when we have situations, we think it comes to stay. But you won't see a come to stay in the Bible. Bible always says, and it came to pass. Even King David said, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I shall fear no evil. He didn't say, while I sit in the valley. You can't sit in your valley. We got to keep walking through the valley. Amen. There was a young man driving with his daughter, and she went through a rainstorm, and she couldn't see because the rain was falling so heavily. She said, Daddy, should I pull over to the side? She said, no, just keep going, baby. She kept driving. She said, Dad, I can't really see. I'm scared I'm going to run into. She said, just keep going, baby. And then when they drove for another 20 minutes, what happened was the rain stopped and the sunshine was bright. And she said, Daddy, how did you know to keep going? He said, now look in your rearview mirror. And when she looked in her rearview mirror, all she saw were headlights and brake lights because they stopped. But you got to go through some things. You'll never know how good God is until you go through some things. See, there's some faith that you can read about, but there's some tribulation God got to send you through. Praise the Lord. And this woman, she did what God said. And the Bible says, and it came to pass that the son of the woman, of the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore. In the original language, it means that he was sick to the point of death. Now think about it. She's not a Yahweh worshiper. She has put her faith in a man who's shown her a little return on her faith. She got a little food for a while. But now, in Near Eastern custom, when a prophet came into a city, oftentimes it wasn't always good. When prophets came into town, people started getting nervous. People started saying, what do we do? Are you going to come to pronounce a curse on us? You know, when I was growing up, when a preacher came to your house, folks start getting nervous. They start hiding magazines, putting them, you know. Turn the TV. Get it off that station. You know. Turn the radio to Joy 107.5 or Praise 103.2. Yeah. Get that big Bible. Well, which Bible? The one we always put underneath the. You got to blow the dust off the thing and put it on the table. Make yourself look holy. Amen. Praise the Lord. But this woman, she had faith because God did some small things in her life. But the Bible says when this happened, she walked up to Elijah and she said, "Did you come, man of God, to pronounce cursing on my sins? I came here expecting you to bless me, but now my son is dead. I'm a widow. My husband is dead. I don't have any way to earn a living. Now the man of the house is dead." But even Elijah's faith got tested that day. The Bible says Elijah took the young man and he took him upstairs. He laid him across his bed and he laid across his body. And the Bible says he prayed a prayer. But in the Hebrew, this particular noun or this verb, rather, is in what they call a tense or an aspect that he kept on praying. See, the problem with some of us is, well, I prayed and God didn't answer my prayer. Woe is me. Sometimes God says, keep on praying. Keep on asking God because you don't know God will answer, but he got to test your faith muscles. He's got to test your faith muscles. What do you mean, preacher? Have you ever been to a gym and seen somebody go in the gym, man, and they got the tight shirts on, and they get underneath the bar, and they put another plate up there. See, I know I used to play football in college, and so I know how guys get, man. There's the mirror. Can I see myself? And they get underneath that bar, and they lift it one time. Woo, that was a good workout. You know how it goes. Get on that elliptical machine for about 10 minutes. Ooh, I'm tired. Oh, and then, ooh, my stomach getting tight. You can't go to the gym one time and expect results. You got to go again and again. Amen. You got to eat right. Amen. Put the Twinkies down. Amen. No more Papa John's for a little while. Amen. Amen. Why is that, preacher? Because God wants to work you out. The Bible says he kept praying. He kept praying and praying. He says in verse 20, "And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow whom I sojourn?" He says, "by slaying her son. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Let this child's soul come into him again. Let this child's soul come into him again. Let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord, the Bible says, heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again. He was revived. The Bible says, "And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See thou thy son liveth. The woman saith unto Elijah, Now, by this I know thou art a man of God. And the word of the Lord, Jehovah, not Baal, is in your mouth." Somebody this morning needs to know the word of God is in the man of God's mouth. But God says it's only good if you apply it. What good is high blood pressure medicine if you go to CVS, purchase it, and put it on your cabinet and look at it every day? And your doctor says, "Are you taking your medicine?" "Well, I bought it." Buying it and using it is two different things. You got to apply the word of God. I'll take my seat after this. In California, there is a notorious land, a stretch of land. So notorious that many people have died on this particular stretch of land because cars go upwards of 120 miles an hour. And when they have crashes, they don't have minor crashes. They have fatalities. They have death. So what happened was, because it was so frequent, they built a courthouse right off the highway. They built it right off the highway. This particular day, there was a young lady who was in college, and she had finals, and some of you all can relate. She had a final exam, and so she was traveling down this highway. She had to get to class. If she missed this exam, she wouldn't graduate. So as she got into her car, she knew the speed limit was 65, but she had to get there, and she was running late. So she stepped on the gas, and she was doing about 95 miles just to get to college. And about 3 or 4 minutes into her travel, blue lights came on. Now, she's a college student. That means she didn't have a lot of money. Amen? So when the policeman pulled her over, she said, "Ma'am, do you know how fast you were going?" The young lady with tears in her eyes said, "I'm sorry, I don't normally drive." He said, "Ma'am, that's no excuse. You broke the law." He says, "I'm going to have to write you a ticket." The man wrote her a ticket. But it wasn't those kind of tickets you can pay at the end of the month. It was the ticket that you had to pay that same day. Her ticket was valued at $500. She drove to the courthouse not knowing how she was going to pay for the ticket. And when she got to the courthouse, the line was stretched outside the door. Everybody had to pay tickets that day. And the judge was showing no mercy at all. Guilty. Doom. Next. Guilty. Next. Guilty. This went on for about 25 minutes until she got up front. The judge looked at her and said, "How do you plead?" With tears streaming down her eyes, she said, "Your Honor, I'm guilty." But this time the judge raised the gavel and he didn't slam it down like he did all the other times. He came down real slow and he barely tapped it and he said, "Guilty." But what he did was strange. He got from around the judge bench and he took off his judge robe and he laid it to the side. He went down next to the young woman. He reached into his pocket and he opened up his wallet. He pulled out five $100 bills. He put it next to the young lady and he stepped back on the judge bench and put back on the judge robe and sat back on the judge chair and he, "Next, guilty." He kept going down. And after the proceedings were over for that day, the bailiff came and said, "Your Honor, I don't mean any disrespect. It's not my business. If you don't want to tell me, that's fine." He said, "But I've been with you for 30 years. I've never, ever in my life seen you pay somebody's fine like that." He said, "Please tell me, why did you pay her fine?" The judge looked at him and said, "Bailiff, as a judge, she was guilty. But as a father, I paid her fine." Jesus Christ is here to pay your fine. But one day, he's going to be your judge. Fine payment is going to be over, and you're going to be guilty. How do you become a member of the Lord's church? The first thing you did was hear, and you did it already. You got to hear the word of God. Then you have to believe it. That means faith. We just talked about faith, faith, faith. We talked about it this morning. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that believeth, pistio, that's the verb form of pistis, you have to believe. That's action that you have to do. Believe Hear, believe, repent. That means to change your mind. Whatever way you were thinking prior to, you got to change it now. Confess, homologeo. It literally means to say the same thing. Lord, have mercy. You are my master. You are my Lord. See, some of us want him to save us, but he won't be this Lord. See, the Bible says Lord and Savior. If he can't be your Lord, he can't be your Savior. Then once you confess his sweetest name on mortal tongue, you will be baptized for the remission of your sins. And we have the water right here this morning. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And it's God's grace. We said this morning, it's God's grace. That's the grace. That's the grace that God has given each and every one of us. But if God gives you grace and you don't do anything with it, then what good does it do you? It's the medicine on the cabinet that you're not taking. Brothers and sisters, I've said enough. Friends and visitors, someone here needs to know Jesus and the saving of their soul. We're going to stand in just a second, and I want you to come down front. Just move. If you come to the aisle, I'll meet you halfway. And if you need prayer, come down front and ask for prayer. We need prayer in this day and age. Nobody's without problems. We all have problems. But I heard Jesus say one time, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. He didn't say cast some. He said cast all. You got a problem, give it to Jesus. You can do it this morning. If you stand right now, let's stand right now and sing the song of invitation.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace? This hour you washed.
Are you washed
in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed?